What's up, campers? I'm Counselor Sean.
And I'm Counselor Chandler. Welcome to Creepy Camp, where spooky farts and mosquito bites go hand in hand.
Come gather around the fire for today's scary story. And always remember, don't go into the woods alone.
So, what if I stabbed you with a banana? Would you be mad?
I don't know if I'd necessarily be angry at it, but, like, is it just a normal banana, or is it, like, did you sharpen a banana?
No, it's just a normal banana.
You didn't, like, put it in the freezer, and then, like slowly sharpen it, and then, like, stab me in the leg?
No.
Where am I getting stabbed, first off?
The place of my choosing, I guess.
I don't like the sound of that. No, I had to.
I'm just gonna put on a blindfold and go in swinging and hope for the best.
You're gonna go in swinging with a banana.
Yeah,
I've definitely seen that on Pornhub before. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, but he had a target though.
It's like the Wonder Years. Did you just come in swinging with a banana?
Yeah, from a South Philly basement.
With a banana.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a nanner.
I like it. He came out swinging from a South Philly basement with a nanner.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that your weapon of choosing? Is a banana?
Maybe it was just the first thing I grabbed. I don't know.
But like...
Let's put it this way. What if Michael Myers in Halloween 1978 grabbed a banana instead of the kitchen knife?
Then I'd probably consider that the best franchise of all time, no matter what. Because, like, given his stature, and especially in the newer movies, that he could pretty much use whatever he wants to kill people, I feel like he could do some damage with a banana.
But fair enough.
But is he going to stab people with the banana, or is he going to get a lot of bananas and then just, like, Mario Kart people all day?
Oh, I was thinking, like a comically large bunch of bananas, and he just beats them with the bunch.
Okay, that'd be pretty entertaining, too. Does he, like, peel and eat them, like, comically, and then, like, use the peel to just slap people in the face? Or is he, like, using the entire banana?
I think he might just beat them with the bunch, and then after they're dead, he might just, like, sit on top of the body and then peel and eat a banana.
I like it. But at that point, if you're beating someone with a banana, doesn't that make the banana bruised?
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of bananas. There's going to be one good banana left.
I mean, not if he's beating the shit out of everybody. It's a lot of people, bro. He killed a lot of people in the new movie. Spoiler alert, but that'd be a lot of bruised bananas. I'm just saying.
Well, who said he's using bananas every time?
What else is he going to use?
I don't know. Like a scrub daddy. Like
that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like a dishwasher?
At this point, you're just naming shit that's in my house. That's all you're fucking naming.
Well, what do you know? It goes along with tonight's topic. So today we're going to be talking about horror movie weapons, the iconic, the ones you've seen that aren't used very often, and the very odd, and you're like, why the fuck did they use this? We came up with a pretty good sized list.
We got a lot, dude.
Yeah.
I just know we're gonna have people after who listen to this are just gonna be like, you forgot this fucking weapon.
Yeah. So, oh, I know.
We'll most likely do a part two if we have to. But yeah, we got a long list to go over, so I guess we'll just sort of start from the top, go from there, and then just sort of see how it works out.
And I'm sure we're going to get sidetracked because we'll be thinking of other movies along the way.
My life story is getting sidetracked, so.
Yes. All right. So, iconic weapons. Let's start off with Old Faithful, the machete.
Your favorite. Well, we were talking about that. So, we were talking about, obviously, Jason is the go-to for a machete, but we were also talking about machete.
And oh, Mr. Danny Trejo.
Yeah, how if, like, I showed up with a machete at, like, a con or something like that, and someone was like, oh, cool, are you Jason? I'd be like, no, I'm fucking Danny Trejo. And then that's it.
I mean, two most iconic people to ever brandish a machete, so.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have like a mustache or anything. I'd just be dressed up in like a suit and tie and a machete. And people would be like, how the fuck do you look like Danny Trejo? And I'm like, yeah, I just embody Danny Trejo.
That's You're Danny Trejo with no seasoning.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I'm like the unseasoned.
The unseasoned Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo. I like it.
That's gonna be my new cosplay is the unseasoned Danny Trejo.
Incredible.
I like it.
I mean, yeah, pretty much Jason's known for the machete. You know.
Do you think Jason's given like a whole new connotation to the machete itself? Like if he never would have used a machete, do you think it'd be as popular as a weapon?
I don't think so, because I don't know. I think they use a machete in Blood Rage.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, and you know, Friday the 13th came out before that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in a bunch of horror movies, I'm sure, but like nothing as iconic as Jason, given that's his staple.
Yeah, if you say machete, it's Jason, obviously, unless for the rare chance you're talking about Danny Trejo. So. Oh,
did you say Trejo?
Yeah, I didn't mean to. No, Danny Trejo.
Or at this point, if we're talking about the reboot, we can also say fucking bow and arrow, because apparently, you know, Jason's great with a bow. Dude,
he's had a lot of time to learn things.
I'm going to continue to talk about that for the rest of my life and how stupid it is. But
yeah, I know.
It's just like Leatherface in the new fucking movie. Fucking yeeting a chainsaw with a Beyblade. I talked to Derek about that when I was getting my hair cut, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure he had a lot to say about it.
Yeah, it was an entertaining conversation. Well,
yeah.
Speaking of Leatherface, obviously we got the chainsaw and the hammer.
Yeah.
I feel like obviously the chainsaw is his more iconic one, but I feel like a lot of the brutal deaths, specifically in the first one, were due to the hammer.
Not necessarily. Yeah, and if we're going to also include people who use the hammer, it's Kathy Bates in True. Misery.
Or we could also go into the, I guess more, I don't know if you consider it a horror movie, but Old Boy.
Yeah.
Obviously with the hallway scene where he's got the hammer. And then if you want to get real in depth, you can go to like the Raid action movies.
Agreed. Where
I think it's the Raid and the Raid 2. I forgot which one specifically it is, but you got the girl with the dual wielding hammers, and then you got the guy with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of baseball bat, I was trying to think of that. Is there a horror movie that just uses a bat, or like a villain that only uses a bat?
I mean, if we're going to include the baseball furies from the Warriors, but they're not really.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily consider that horror.
Technically, because I just thought about it, the only bat that I can think of is the spike bat from Saw 2.
Okay. Yeah, then I guess.
Which makes that really terrible noise when he peels it out of his head.
Yeah. I guess if you want to get real in detail too, you can go to like The Walking Dead, which with Negan and stuff like that. But I don't think there's necessarily a villain that uses just a bat, unless I'm blanking on something, but. Or maybe even like a comical method of using a bat or something like that. I don't know.
What about Joaquin Phoenix's character in Signs? I guess.
I definitely feel like there's something. Hold on. I'm going to Google this shit.
Google it.
LOL. When I typed in
Oh my God. Oh my God. Can't wait to see the Google
search. I typed in horror movie bat, and the first thing that popped up is a 1999 horror movie called Bats.
See, now all I'm picturing is that movie, but they actually replaced the animal bats with actual baseball bats.
Just flying baseball bats.
Yeah.
Fuck it. It's got a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. I just said
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Capricornio.
Hold on. Now I should probably type in baseball bat. That would probably be a better thing. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess The Shining.
Yeah.
With her carrying her bat. Billy Club. which I don't think I've ever seen.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Top 10 brutal baseball bat scenes in horror movies. Oh, now I gotta know. Hold on. Let's see here. Deadball? That looks brutal. I've never seen that. That's from 2011. Identity. That's also brutal. Dude's got a bat literally shoved through his fucking throat. Ow.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say asshole.
Yeah, just up the bum, you know. That's a dope scene. Okay. Yeah, so there is a slasher with a baseball bat. It's called Billy Club. Came out in 2013.
I think I've seen it when scrolling through Shudder.
It looks hella cheesy, but like great at the same time. There's a lot of practical effects, it looks like. So
love that.
Being that. Let's see. Oh, Zombieland, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if I can consider that. Peltmaster Horror Season. Let's see here. Battlefield Baseball. What is this movie?
I don't know. It sounds terrible.
This dude, the first thing that comes up is this. It's this gif of this guy on a baseball field, and he's just got a bunch of bats through him as if he's like pinned the tail on the donkey.
Like impaled with bats?
Yeah, he's just impaled with a shit ton of bats, and one of them's going through his head. He's just this heavier Japanese man.
Can we rewrite Field of Dreams and call it Field of Screams? And it's just a horror movie where
they
build the baseball field, right? And they're like, they will come, and then everyone comes and they don't know they're gonna get murdered with a bat.
Yeah, that, or we do Angels in the Outfield, but we do Demons in the Outfield, and it's just a bunch of baseball memes and people dying.
Okay.
Oh, and Glorious Bastards, but that's not really a horror movie. But you got The Bear Jew. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of any others, but oh well. Well, I guess we'll have to watch Billy Club. I'm surprised we've never seen that.
Okay, we'll add it to the list for sure.
Definitely. What's next?
On the list is Michael and the Kitchen Knife.
Of course. I mean, the iconic kitchen knife. I still think he'd be better with a banana, but.
See, it could have been a whole different franchise.
It'd be a better franchise, dare I say it.
Because, well, it could be like, where does he find a banana every time? Or every movie could have changed fruits and or vegetables. It could have been like a cucumber. It could have been a carrot.
The first Halloween is a banana. The second one is a fucking cucumber. Season of the Witch doesn't have them in it, but it's all fruit themed.
Yeah, they all wear like fruit masks. And then season four, he's got a sharpened carrot that he just fucks everyone up with.
Yeah, and then when he fights Busta Rhymes, he fights him with like cauliflower gloves or something. You know, just goes, that's a vegetable, but you know, you get the point. And just starts throwing hands like that, like just with a bundle of cauliflower. And then, like, I'm trying to think, like the newest ones, he uses a pumpkin and he just fucking hits people in the face with pumpkins.
I think it's way too fitting to do it with a pumpkin. You're going to have to pick something else.
But that's the point, though. It's Halloween.
What if he just throws potatoes?
Okay, that'd be funnier.
Like he makes fries and then they're sharp and then he throws French fries.
No, better. He gets a potato gun, right? And he just launches it. And then people's heads just explode from the potato gun.
Michael Myers with a fries. Fucking potato gun bazooka.
Yeah. Oh, and then he makes fries from his victims. After with said potato.
So it's like Motel Hell, but instead of jerky, he's making potatoes?
Yes. Like okay. Good solid fries, like Kringle or like Kringle cut or curly fries.
And then it turns into Blood Diner and they sell the fries to people.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then like for dessert, it will be a crossover with Sam from Trick or Treat, and then he'll sell his razor blade candy.
Okay, I'm down.
We got a great concept going. Just saying
that we literally just need an indie studio to give us a ton of money, and then we can write terrible movies.
Chris Stuckman on YouTube, dude, he raised like $300,000 in like a week.
But he also has a massive YouTube, so
it's okay. We can make it work. You know, everybody,
give me money. If you're listening, give me a dollar, and then this will go really easy.
Give me the monies. We make like $5. Like, yes.
I mean, I've seen some movies that look like they had a $5 budget, so.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
I mean, we actually have one of those on the list. So
do we?
Yeah, we do. Oh,
God, I'm scared now.
Yeah, the kitchen knife is iconic. Doesn't matter which one it is, because it tends to be almost the same knife.
It's usually the same. And then Ghostface obviously has a knife as well, but he uses a hunting knife.
Yeah.
Right? It's always a hunting knife, right? Was it a hunting knife in the new one too?
I think so, because it had the same shape.
Yeah, because I can never remember. So, but yeah, so Ghostface does the same. Obviously, we'll let people battle that out on which one they like more, but I'm sure everybody's got their favorite weapon of choice.
Definitely. Following Ghostface, we have Freddy and the Claws. We talked about this a little bit before the episode. I was looking up just a bunch of like horror movie weapons lists, and it seems like most people voted Freddy's Claws as the most iconic of all time.
It's interesting to me because, yeah, I can see it as being the most iconic, but to me, I feel like Jason has pretty much claimed the machete as his own thing.
And I feel like the Freddy glove is just so recognizable.
It is. Everybody, I guess no one else has ever done that. You know, I think he's the only character with that staple.
So, the only movie that does anything close is Night Killer, which if you haven't seen Night Killer on Netflix, it is absolutely terrible, but so good at the same time. This man can put on a mask and like animal claw hands, and he can like punch through people, but only when he wears them.
How have I not seen that? That's
I don't know. Funny. I've told you to watch it multiple times. So
you also send me things like Shark. What was the recent one? Sharks or Sis? No, Shark.
The new Sharkula that comes out very soon, and I'm very excited to watch it. It's going to be like trash.
Shark Dracula. I like it.
But like, I don't know. Yeah, watch Night Killer though. You'll get a good laugh out of it.
What do you think is the most recognizable or popular, should I say, horror movie weapon? Like, if you had to take a poll and be like, what's the most recognizable one and someone to name it, what do you think it would be?
Like, regarding like a franchise or like most used?
Just any movie, not most used, just like,
okay,
if you had to put a weapon to a character or a movie and someone was like, yeah, that's clearly the most popular weapon in a horror movie or well-known, who's...
It's got to be the machete, right?
In my opinion, it would be, but then technically, any horror fan also knows that like Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's in the fucking movie title. So, that's a pretty solid go-to one.
Obviously, I guess actually I'm gonna retract my answer. It's going to be the chainsaw shotgun combo from Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
You're only saying that because it's your favorite.
But it is. Like you can say the word boomstick and you think of one movie.
Sure, I guess. But like I feel like even people who don't watch horror movies like avidly, a lot of people don't know what Evil Dead is necessarily.
And that's dumb. So
yes, I may not. If you get a bunch of people who are into only like newer stuff, like they've only seen like Insidious or The Conjuring, and say they're big horror movie fans. If you tell them, hey, do you know what a boomstick is? They're probably gonna be like, what the fuck is that? Whereas if you're like, hey, what's Jason Voorhees known for? They'd probably say a machete or a hockey mask rather.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense. I don't know. It could vary. I obviously that's going to depend on who we ask, but to me, it's probably the machete.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even though Freddy's claws are probably the most recognizable thing because no one else has them necessarily. Because Freddy's Freddy. And then with Pinhead, we got multiple technically, right?
Yeah, the lament configuration is what I have written down, which for people who don't know it by its like actual name, it's the puzzle box. For those who unlock it, it opens up and it brings darkness and despair and hooks and chains and basically tears the person apart. Which is crazy. I love the first three Hellraisers.
The effects of Pinhead, just the chains sticking into your flesh and pulling you apart, is brutal. I remember watching those movies when I was younger for the first time and was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, for sure. Like it's wild
style character doing to these people. But also the practical effects used in the first one were really cool.
Oh, Barker absolutely killed it.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, I feel like Hellraiser overall is a bit underrated.
Yeah, because it just got worse and worse as the series went on.
Well, let's be real. Most of the big franchises have, but I feel like
that one
specifically, though, like some of the remakes or whatever, the sequel, I don't even know what they're called, but like they were just
way too many bad ones.
Like they were so atrociously bad. So we're not even going to go into that. But he's got one of my favorite weapons, like the chain specifically. Those are really unique to me and just absolutely rough. And then didn't Saw also rip off? I don't know if they ripped it off. They probably got inspiration from it, but one of the Saw movies had that too.
You're not talking about the angel, are you? Where they like tear her ribs open?
No. There's one in Saw where he, if I remember correctly, he wakes up in a room and he's got chains hooked all in his body, and slowly from the timer.
That's
right.
I want to say it's Saw 4. It's the dude who has to pull it, and it pulls him into the engine block, right?
Yeah. No. Like there, something like that. I can't remember what it was, but he basically wakes up with the chains all in him, and he has to pull them out one by one, and they're like in.
Okay, I'm thinking of something different. This is the dude who like has to wear the mask and like pull the people into the engine block.
Oh yeah. No,
I don't remember which one that is.
This guy woke up with just chains in his body, and he had to pull them out, and the last one was like through his jaw, I think, and something like that. And if he got them all out, then he was fine. Otherwise, they're all going to pull him apart, and they ended up pulling apart. Spoiler.
There's no way that's not influenced by Clive
Barker. Yeah, that was straight inspiration from Hellraiser. So, which was cool to see from like a more modern take on it, but it was pretty cool
for sure. Next on the list, we have Trick or Treat with Sam and his lollipop or razor blade candy.
Lollipop, lollipop.
What if Sam started singing that like as he's just stabbing you? Actually, what, you know what, this is completely
that'd be pretty frightening, to be honest,
off topic. What sound do you think Sam would make
if he talked?
Yeah,
I mean, didn't he sort of make somewhat sound?
Yeah, he makes little like kid noises.
Yeah, it was just sort of like whatever, like when he was attacking the dude at the end. But if he was speaking, what would he sound like?
Or yeah, what would Sam sound like if he talked?
I have a, to me, it'd be funnier if he had like a Morgan Freeman style voice. So if
I was thinking like a straight up like Boston or New York, like
that'd be pretty funny. Like, hey, you guys, you took my fucking candy. Fuck you.
Hey, it's fucking Sam. Light the fucking pumpkin or I'll kill you, bitch.
With my lollipop. Fuck you, bitch. Yeah.
You ever have a lollipop stuck up your ass? You about to fuck around and find out.
And that is from Philly.
Yeah, that's if the director of Goodfellas directed Trick or Treat. Thank you.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. So like Bostonian accent with the like, hey, fuck you. The sort of like a little Italian in there too.
Yeah. Or like Boondock Saints with Sam in it.
Okay. I dig it. That, or like, I think it'd just be funny if you had a deep ass voice. So he literally just walks up to you like, what's up?
Hang on. Okay. So another side note, because I literally just said it. Can we talk about Boondock Saints and getting smashed with the fucking toilet? Can we count that?
Oh, true. Can we count? Yeah, sure. We'll count it.
Okay, cool.
I think we have more obscure references in this list than anything. So sure, I think we can.
Like, that's a thing.
I'd say we can count that. That's pretty fair.
Yeah. Sam's lollipop, you know, he stabs multiple people with it.
But then he's got the razor candy, but yeah, then that segues into our next one as well.
Yep. Which is
with Candyman, because Candyman, yeah. I mean, obviously he's more known for his hook, but the whole concept is like he was giving tainted candy, right? With razor blades in him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but his iconic weapon is definitely the hook, but we also have multiple movies that technically have a similar or the same hook, which would be Candyman, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and hook. What was the other one? Oh, well, not...
Yeah, Peter Pan is obviously a horror movie, Chandler. Come on.
And then Peter Pan. Peter motherfucking Pan.
Well, I guess the difference between Candyman and the fisherman from I Know What You Did Last Summer is like Candyman's hook couldn't be removed.
Talk to him, yeah.
Yeah,
there was a third one, though. We had a third, didn't we?
That had a hook in it?
I thought someone else uses a hook. Why can't I think of it? That's going to bug me.
I mean, the only other thing I would consider a hook is like Leatherface's meat hooks that he supposedly hangs people on.
Yeah. Oh, we could use, this is sort of a very obscure reference. I thought the movie wasn't terrible. I thought it was enjoyable for a one-time watch, but you remember when Kane from WWE made his horror movie?
See No Evil,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had like the hook on the chain that he would throw, right?
Yeah. He also makes that girl swallow a cell phone, so. That's pretty cool.
That was, yeah. Speaking of, that's a terrible segue. I didn't know.
Yeah, speaking of swallowing. Mm-hmm. Kind of
swallowing things.
Keep it up.
Yeah. You know.
Continue.
Speaking of my daily week.
I mean, we already started this talking about porn and swinging bananas, so swallowing this is not that bad.
Yeah, speaking of swallowing things.
Swallowing balls?
Yeah, technically that is what it is about. We'll go there. But I mentioned this on one of the other episodes, is that very obscure reference to, what was it? The night they knock.
Okay.
Like that. Whatever. Very low budget, very just grimy sort of whatever movie, but they used a lot of cool practical effects in it. But one of the deaths is literally the guy forces a girl to swallow a pool ball, which just looked unpleasant in every way possible. I don't know how he did it. I assume he, if I remember correctly, he broke her teeth off or something like that.
But yeah, I don't like that.
Watching it was definitely brutal. I didn't enjoy that movie that much. It's definitely cheesy, but for what it was done pretty well. I'll give him that.
Okay, fair enough. Next on this, we kind of touched on it, is Army of Darkness with the boomstick chainsaw combo.
This is my boomstick.
I don't think there's another character known for brandishing a shotgun as well known as Ash is.
Yeah, or at least, yeah, definitely not as well known.
I mean, besides Hobo with a Shotgun, but that's like his whole thing, so.
I was literally about to mention Hobo with a Shotgun. That movie's great.
I mean, unless we want to talk about the shotgun scene in Malignant, which we all know how we feel about it.
Yeah, but the real weapon in Malignant isn't the shotgun.
It's the chair. It's the fucking
chair that she just yeets at like a perfect angle with a perfect basketball shot arc. Like arch, and just
she played a lot of Angry Birds, bro.
Yeah, just across the room and just hits the motherfucker on the head and says, yeah, take that shit.
Can you imagine like prepping for that scene and it's like, we have this iPhone from like 2012, we still have the app on here, and you just have to play it when you're not on screen.
Yes,
forever.
Yep.
And then she was told that she didn't have a high score, a specific high score by the end. They were just going to cancel the movie.
Yeah, I like it. I like the concept. I still don't get why people like that movie, but
I don't know.
I think we should do an entire episode on Malignant and why we hate it. And
how much shit can I really talk?
Yeah, but like, we'll bring in someone. Let's bring in someone who really likes that movie, and okay, then we can have like a full fledged discussion on why they like it and why we hate it.
Yep.
That which is good weird. Well, like most of the people who talk to me about it and are like, why don't you like it? And it's interesting to me because they're like, it's a campy, it's a fun sort of horror movie. Well, I'm like, yeah, but my buddy Fro loves that shit. That's like right up his alley.
Well, I get the like Italian nod, like the Italian horror nod. And I was like, I can watch Inferno. I can watch Suspiria. And I'm like, wow, these are really good. And I don't see that with Malignant at all.
Yeah, but Suspiria is not meant to be like a campy, corny movie, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Like its own very creepy environmental horror. But like, clearly it was trying to be a camp movie, like just sort of a cheesy, fun, whatever. But for some reason, I just didn't go into it. Even when watching it for like an hour, I was like, it almost seemed like it wasn't trying to be that. I felt like it was trying to be a serious horror movie.
100%.
but like it had the camp elements to it. I don't know. Maybe it's just way above my head and I just don't get the concept. So who knows? Maybe I'm just not woke enough, I guess, to like Malignant.
I guess not. And I don't know if I'm willing to put myself through a rewatch.
Yeah, I maybe, I don't know.
I mean, maybe if we do an entire episode on it, we're going to have to rewatch it just to...
which is scaring me because I'm thinking about having to rewatch it. But at the same time, if we know what we're going up against, then maybe it won't be as bad. Because we also went into that movie thinking it was going to be a very serious style horror movie.
Because that's literally how all the trailers made it look, too.
Yeah, and it was James Wan. So it's like, okay, this is going to be really good, hopefully. And then it ended up being something totally different. So maybe our expectations were completely just traumatized.
That's kind of how it came off to me.
Yes, I don't know. Also, Shotgun, technically not like a known thing for the movie, but one Martyrs. Of the famous scenes, Martyrs, which
best scene in the movie.
Martyrs, that movie's fucked beyond a lot of belief because it's one of those French extremist movies. But there's a shotgun scene where she basically goes into the house of these people and literally just
blows them the fuck away, man.
Yeah, which in context, if you just see it on YouTube, which I've had some friends do, and they haven't seen the movie, it's like, oh, this is fucked up. She's killing this family with a shotty, blah, blah, blah. But then when you watch the entire movie, you're like, oh, that family was...
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
Yeah, like, it makes total sense of why she did what she
for
did.
For sure.
And then you don't feel bad. So you actually sort of laugh at their expense and then being killed. So
agreed.
But yeah, shotgun-wise, obviously, Evil Dead is always going to take the victory on that one.
You know it, baby.
Well, if we skip forward a little bit, speaking of guns, I guess, because I feel like guns aren't a super like just dominantly used thing in horror.
Well, yeah, like serial killer code. Weapon. You're not supposed to use guns.
Yes. Well, obviously, unless you're one of these people like Wolf Creek, he uses a rifle consistently all the time to kill people. But he's also a hunter. So like I think he uses anything in his hunting what's the word I'm looking for here?
Backpack.
His inventory or armory, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Because he has a hunting knife, a massive hunting knife that he uses, his rifle, his traps, whatever. Like, homeboy is a psychopath. So if you haven't seen Wolf Creek, by the way, just go watch it. That's one of the most underrated.
Honestly, watch films. Both of them.
Yeah, honestly, the second one's better than the first, which is rare. But that's one of the most underrated slashers ever made. Like, that entire movie definitely fucks with my head.
If we're going to talk about guns, can we include Art when he finds a gun in his bag?
I was about to say, are we including Art in this? Because, like, he just finds a gun and starts shooting people. Like, what the fuck? Like, hey, I'm a clown.
He went through the whole bag of everything else imaginable, and he's just like, oh, there's a gun in here.
I'm going to use this thing because I don't care. But I'm curious, now looking back on that, do you think that's a nod to like clowns doing the whole like gun thing, like the bang, like the fake gun thing?
I think so.
But he ends up picking up a real gun instead.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of weapons in that one, can't you use him for like what, the hacksaw maybe that he used to?
Oh, yeah, because he totally hacks her in half for sure. Yeah,
with the girl, but obviously he used a lot of other things and stuff. But I feel like that's...
I guess that's like the most known for sure.
Yeah, iconic scene.
Because like the only other thing with like a hacksaw would be from Saw.
Saw or Cabin in the Woods.
That too.
Because they use that to sell the blonde girl in half or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, she like screams for fucking... what's his name? Chris Hemsworth. Which is really weird to still think about that. He's in fucking Cabin in the Woods and now he's Thor. So
yeah,
that's definitely an interesting one. But I mean, my favorite weapon in Cabin in the Woods is the bear trap. When he literally just yeets a bear trap at someone and just digs into their back. Doesn't someone also use that in Wrong Turn?
I think Wrong Turn, and I know The Final uses bear traps as well.
Okay, yeah, so there's more movies for it. Wrong Turn utilizes a ton of stuff, but if I remember correctly, they definitely used a bear trap like that too. And that was before Cabin in the Woods. Did you see the new Wrong Turn movie, by the way?
I didn't.
Did you like it?
Oh, I said I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. because I did. It was, believe it or not, it wasn't terrible for what it is. Like, if you go into
compared to the rest of the franchise.
Yeah. I mean, if you go in expecting, hey, this is a wrong turn movie, don't expect anything that great, then
okay,
you'll probably enjoy it.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
And I think we're reaching the end of iconic, I guess. We have Harry Warden for My Bloody Valentine with the pickaxe.
Underrated.
Absolutely. Like, the remake was even good.
Yeah, surprisingly. I didn't think the remake would be good at all, but it was solid.
Enjoyed it. I can't think of anyone else that uses a pickaxe.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I don't think I can either. It's like a mining axe, right? Or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a pickaxe from the mine, but it's like, yeah, no other movies are really in a mine.
Pickaxe horror movies. There's literally a horror movie called Pickaxe.
Well, of course there's gonna be.
I didn't know that, though. That's funny.
If they made a horror version of, like, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, they would all have pickaxes, but...
100%. Dude, that'd be great.
And they team up with the witch and they all just kill Snow White, and then...
They need to make that a movie. That'd be frightening on every level.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's down to hell you go.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah, I'm clever, bro.
Because that's pretty fucking good.
You're welcome.
We need to make that a concept right now and make a movie out of it. That'd be so
great. So Holes 2, that, Field of Screams. We've got a list of movies.
But Holes 2 we were just calling Sploosh, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Holes 2, parentheses, Sploosh. And then what are we going to call the Seven Dwarves movie?
I don't know.
Off to hell we go.
Maybe.
we'll take some time to come up with something more creative for that.
Wild.
One of my favorites, or just I also think is a very underrated slasher, is Victor Crowley.
Yep.
Because obviously his hatchet, which the movie franchise is named after, even though he can literally rip people and does rip people apart.
That is one of my favorite kill scenes of all time. The face rip is incredible.
Yeah, like that dude is frightening beyond means. He's just like, his super strength, everything about him is scary.
Especially the one-liners in that movie are incredible.
Yes. One-liners are prime.
Your nipples are ugly.
I hate how I can name like four different one-liners from different horror movies that
all... Oh, you mean the Friday nipples. The 13th remake? Yeah, one,
because you got Hatchet, you got the Friday the 13th reboot where it's like, your nipples are so symmetrical or whatever. No, what are your nipples are perfect symmetry is what he says, or something like that.
Yep.
And then I forgot the other one. There's another movie where they mention nipples too, and it just leads to a kill. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, why do directors continue to write this in their movies?
I guess if you have nipples, you die. Apparently, I don't know.
That's the theme. If you have nipples, you die. Technically.
There you go, I guess.
I like it. Cool. All right. What's next? We did iconic.
So we have two more sections, but I feel like we can kind of lump them into one because they're not either as used or they were never used before that.
Yeah. I don't even know if we'll be able to get through all these. Honestly, we might have to do a part two.
But yeah, we'll can see. Just kind of see where we're at.
Yeah, we'll see.
So first on the spot is Killer Clowns. We grouped them together. So we have the popcorn gun, acid pies, shadow puppets, and cotton candy lasers.
Or the, you could technically also say his boxing gloves, right?
Oh, yeah. Shorty's boxing gloves. Yeah. Like, everything about that movie is incredible to me. Because they went for goofy and they nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be a silly, fun, over the top clown movie, and ironically, people who have clown phobias, if they watch that, are terrified to death. So it's definitely an entertaining experience. The House at Halloween Horror Nights was great too.
Yeah, agreed.
I was very impressed by that. I saw you post that the other day
on Instagram. That picture of me gonna fight Shorty. Yeah
that was pretty dope.
Yeah, great house, great movie.
Do you have a favorite weapon in that movie?
I mean, honestly, I think it's Slim's shadow puppet. It's either Slim or Jumbo. I don't remember who it is, but the shadow puppet is dope.
The shadow puppet is a really
cool. But also the boxing gloves are fucking cool too. So
yeah, but I feel like the shadow puppet's definitely like one of those really iconic scenes.
For sure.
Speaking of clowns, though, if we're talking about boxing gloves, let's talk about Go-Go Gadget boxing glove arms with stitches.
Incredible.
Fucking incredible. Terrible movie. Like, if you're going to watch it, just know what you're getting into. But like that scene where homeboy literally does a Go-Go Gadget like boxing glove arm to knock someone's head off their shoulders. Best thing I've ever seen. Fucking prime. And then if we're going to go into more clowns, we can also talk like Twisted Metal, but that's not really a horror movie.
Well, honestly, speaking of clowns, we can just jump to that because it's in here. Horny the Clown from Drive-Thru and Gertie the Clown from 100 Tears.
Yeah.
That both carry giant meat cleavers.
Yeah. Massive meat cleavers. Yeah, that are like the size of their fucking body.
Yeah. If you want a really low budget, really good gore horror movie, watch 100 Tears if you've never seen it.
Yeah, that's almost like a straight body horror movie. Like it's like torture porn. That's all it is. It's like super low budget and like the blood is like absolutely just like water.
But yeah, and there's no explanation to why he's there
at all. But that is one of the most frightening fucking characters I've seen in a movie. Like
agreed.
He has to be at least 6'5".
Oh, he's massive.
Yeah, he's like at least 280, 300 pounds, and he just carries a massive meat cleaver and just kills whoever the fuck he wants. Like,
I love it.
Shit's menacing. If you don't like clowns, don't watch that movie. That will ruin your life.
All right. Next on here is Patrick Bateman with the nail gun, which sadly he doesn't use. And then the axe when he kills Paul in the living room.
Is there anybody else who uses like strictly a nail gun as a weapon?
Tim Allen?
I was gonna say fucking Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore.
Oh my lord. Nail guns kinda actually, no. Speaking of that, because did you watch No Exit?
Yeah, no, not yet.
So No Exit, like, it doesn't really give anything away. Like,
yeah, because that's the Korean film, right?
No. This is American. It's on Hulu. It came out. Which one was
the we were talking about?
Dream Home?
Yeah, Dream Home.
Yeah, I've got that on here, too. Doesn't really give anything away, but No Exit, the main villain ends up, like, using a nail gun. Like he has a gun and then runs out of ammo and then has a nail gun.
Yo, I'm shocked you have not seen this movie. It is called The Nail Gun Massacre and it came out in 1985.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen it scrolling through Tubi because I've seen like Driller Killer and like New York Ripper and all those. Like I've definitely passed it, just never actually watched it.
Let's talk about this description real quick, right? So a khaki clad Avenger with a black helmet cracks jokes while nailing rapists.
Okay, first off, they could have worded that so much better because it made it sound like a porn.
Oh my god, it's so bad, but it's so good at the
same time. But it comes out to find that he's using a nail gun. Okay.
And they made a pun out of it. Oh my god, that's great. I have to see this. Hold on. That's like, I'm looking at the photos. Like, yeah, this dude straight up looks like G.I. Joe with a helmet on and just has a nail gun.
I'm definitely going to have to add it to the watch list and check it out this week.
They need to make a remake of this and just make fucking Nicolas Cage the main character as if he were in Ghost Rider and then just carry a fucking nail gun.
Man, like, I was just going to say something and I don't know if it's like too dark to say. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
I really want to.
Might as well now.
Mel Gibson could have used a nail gun in Passion of the Christ.
Worth it. Fucking worth it.
Would have got in a lot easier. Oh, yeah. Because that's one of the big scenes in No Exit is like...
Did you just say it would have gone any easier?
Yeah, instead of using a giant-ass hammer. Yeah.
Or Abbott, like, Jesus comes back to life with a nail gun and gets revenge on the people.
Yes. See, that's what we need now. We need a Jesus revenge movie.
We'll do Jesus Christ Superstar Nail Gun Edition. And then it's a musical about Jesus with a nail gun.
Oh, my God. And, like, when he comes back, he removes the stone from in front of the temple, and then he just, like, yeets it at, like, a town.
Just straight up, like, throws that shit. He's got super strength beyond means, carries a nail gun, has like the nails wrapped around his robe like a fucking belt.
Oh my God.
And then just reloads that shit and just goes off.
And when they're having the giant feast and he turns water to wine, the wine is actually blood, and everyone notices that all the blood has secretly been drained from their body and because he's Jesus.
Yeah. And then he starts singing, and then it's just, it's better.
So he brings out like a ukulele.
Yes, exactly. Right. So yeah, that happens. Right. All the blood's drained and whatever. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then he brings out a ukulele and then just starts singing
Ed Sheeran songs.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran or like the Goo Goo Dolls. Right. Like it's just like, he's just like, I don't want the world to see me. Right. And then everyone dies. And then, yeah, that's the movie.
Catch me crying in the theater.
Yeah, that's
just because it's so sad.
That's the movie right there. I like it. We need to like coin these things or like
trademark
these before anyone takes these ideas. Derek, if you're listening, don't take these ideas from us.
All right. Next on the list is my favorite slasher, which is Cropsey from The Burning with the garden shears.
Super underrated. I love that weapon, but
it's great. Yeah, I mean, when you see him just snip people's fingers off and shit.
Yeah, I don't really have a bad thing to say about that movie or that weapon choice. Like that weapon choice is very unique. It's cool. I dig it. And then that's also what I thought was used in, which I guess is later in the list, but like with Exorcist 3.
No, those are just comically giant scissors.
Yeah, I thought those were probably garden shears, but then when you go back and rewatch it, they're literally
Looney Tunes scissors for sure.
That are the size of like my body.
100%. So
that's pretty great. Not gonna lie. But yeah, all the scenes in The Burning are incredible, especially like with the chopping off of fingers and stuff like that.
Yeah, if you like actual camp based movies and you've never watched The Burning, you should, for those who don't really know about it. Tom Savini did all the makeup work on Friday the 13th. They pitched the second one. He didn't like the way that the franchise was going to go with all the changes, so he literally left and didn't do part two and went to The Burning instead. So, again, if you like camp-themed horror movies, you will love The Burning, I promise.
I actually did not know that.
Yeah. That is a big thing.
Did not know that at all, so that's actually really cool.
Yeah. Next on the list, I just never really thought about, but the straight razor that Sweeney Todd uses.
Yeah, I mean, not a horror movie, but definitely horror elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a barber who...
I mean, technically he's a slasher.
Yeah, I mean, it's a barber who murders people and then turns their bodies into pies. Like, that's fucking... Like, that's as, like, evil as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if that takes any influence from, like, Motel Hell or anything like that.
Possibly, I could see that. I mean, just the concept, I guess, of cannibalism or whatever the fuck, or... I hate that song so much, too. I can't, like, the whole Best Pies in London song or whatever. Oh, God.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Joanna.
Oh, no.
Joanna.
I don't even like that movie that much, to be honest, but
maybe I watch it every now and then.
That might just be me.
It's because Alan Rickman is really good in it, so
that he is. I will give you that. Let's see. What else we got?
Tall Man from Phantasm with the Sentinel Orb.
Dude, super underrated.
It's just wild because he can just like kind of sick it on people like a dog, and then it just puts blades in your face and then sucks blood out through a tube.
It pretty much has a mind of its own.
Yeah, and then you're just dead. That's it, really?
Yeah, that's about it. You're just
short and sweet. That's it.
Stab in, face dies. Okay, thanks. Bye. Like, that's the entire concept.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, hey, don't come in here. And if you do, I'm going to send this orb to suck your blood out through your face.
Eat my ball. Eat my metallic ball. Appreciate it.
Incredible. What else do we have on here? The flamethrower from the thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty iconic itself. I mean, I know people who have that tattooed, like that specific scene.
I think it's also because The Thing is just such an iconic film.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to weapons, scenery, practical effects, cast at the time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Slumber Party Massacre, Russ Thorne with the power drill, which then morphed into the drill guitar in Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Got you. I forgot about that.
So he's ripping in the first one, and they're riffing in the second one.
I like it.
And I think, yeah, what we probably will do, like, the really odd ones for a different episode, because those are all really fun, and I'm sure we can come up with way more. The final two on this list, we have the lawnmower from Dead Alive, which, if you've never seen Dead Alive, do you like Lord of the Rings? Peter Jackson directed that. And then you can go watch Dead Alive, which Peter Jackson also directed, which is just a fucking splatter fest.
Literally.
And
it held the record, I think, for most blood before the new Evil Dead, right?
Before the new Evil Dead, yeah. And then It Chapter 2 tried to top it.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, Dead Alive is a wild ride from start to finish.
Honestly, I can't even tell you the last time I watched that movie, but
it's been a while for me.
But like, sure. I literally watch those clips on YouTube all the time.
Yep.
Just mainly for that specific scene.
Absolutely. And the last one, which is so unfortunate because it's the best part of the whole movie and it's within the first 5 minutes of the movie, is the giant razor wire from Ghost Ship.
The only good part of the movie, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yep, literally. The only good part of the movie.
The best part of the whole movie. Like, so, do you have 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes to spare so you can get some snacks beforehand?
No, dude, just save your breath or just your time in general. Go on YouTube, type in
Ghost Ship
opening scene, and just watch that, and then don't watch the rest of the movie.
Well, that's what I was saying. I didn't say, hey, sit down and watch the movie. I just said, you got 5 minutes?
You got 5 minutes? So, but yeah,
it's like the amount of time you could watch a TV commercial, you can watch the best and only scene in this movie that matters.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can literally go watch it. Just do that. Enjoy it. Be like, wow, this is fucked up and cool. I like it. And then, yeah, you can technically say you watched Ghost Ship.
Yeah, because nothing else really matters.
Sadly, I've actually endured watching the entire movie.
Yeah, so have I. I know. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are, unfortunately.
All right, everybody. Well, that is going to end, I guess, part one. Of this.
We're going to end up doing part two for sure. Cause we have so many more left.
And I'm sure we're going to come up with way more by the time we actually do it. So that next episode, whenever that comes out, obviously we'll keep everyone updated, is just going to be on the really fucking odd horror movie weapons.
Like, just very unique.
We've already got a good list so far. And I'm honestly really excited to add to it because I'm sure we're going to just come across way more really
shit. Oh, I'm literally going to research like everything I can this week just to be like, what are the most obscure deaths from random ass shit I can think of?
I love it. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you're enjoying all the episodes. If you haven't checked out the other, three that are out now, go do those. We have two Q&A ones and a Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022 review episode.
All two of our viewers, thank you so much.
hey, that's fine.
We love you so much. Thank you.
I'll take what I can get, damn it. Yeah, we hope everyone's loving the podcast. We love doing this. Keep submitting ideas for episodes. We do have a pretty big list. I think it's like 10 to 15 long for episode ideas. So we definitely have some stuff to do, but always willing to take new ideas.
Also, sorry to interrupt. Always willing to have people.
You threw off my groove.
My bad, bro. Did I throw off your emperor's new groove?
Yeah, and then I'm going to kick you off the building and go, sorry.
I'm going to give you fucking Cusco's poison. Poison for Cusco. Cusco poison.
You're going to turn me into a llama?
Yes, bro. Dude, that'd be sick. Let's be real. Llamas can spit at people.
And then you're going to turn yourself into a cat.
I like it. I like it. I'll be a cat, and then you be a llama, and you spit at people. And then
Kronk makes us spinach puffs.
And then we pull the lever, and then, yeah, that's the movie. That's the entire fucking movie. That's it. It's only 10 minutes long.
Oh, we love that.
But what I was saying, I forgot what the fuck I was saying. God damn it. Hey, you. What was I saying? No, dude. What was I saying? We're always willing to have guests on the show or on the podcast. So if you're into horror stuff, even if you're not and you just want to come chill and talk and hang out, feel free. Shoot us a message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'd love to have you guys. It's great doing this again. So we're just enjoying it and doing whatever we can.
If you do want to be a guest, let us know if you want to be a guest on a specific episode too.
True. Yeah. Like if you have interest in anything in regards to like, if you like clowns a lot, or if you like slashers a lot, or if I don't know anything you like specifically, then get back to us, let us know, and we'll happily have you on. And then we'll go from there.
Or like in regards to if we do a Malignant episode, we want someone on it that loves Malignant versus us so we can see the opposing views.
Yeah, I think we should do that for a lot of things, like not even just Malignant, even though Malignant
I agree. Is
definitely one, but I'm sure we definitely have like opposing views on specific movies. Like,
one and two?
So I didn't dislike those movies.
They're not bad. I think two was way too long.
Yeah, but yeah.
And I'm then sure. they enter, like they obviously like I'm for LGBT community, but then like they kind of just threw that like romance in there at the end.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Which like I wish they would have made like a more well-known thing.
Yeah, I guess sort of like developed it a little bit more maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's funny because I'm actually reading or doing the audiobook of it. And dude, it is so fucking long. Like,
oh yeah. And you have one of the most notorious scenes of all time that they obviously couldn't put in the movie.
Yeah, they would have to make that like X-rated if they put that in the movie.
Yeah.
That scene is fucked. Hearing it on audiobook is not any better. So yeah, I can't imagine the narrator having to read that too. That's just not pretty.
No.
But yeah, thanks guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. We're gonna sign off, and Ferry, you got parting words?
Don't let anyone stab you with a banana.
Well, that's it, everyone. The fire's all burnt out. Congrats on surviving another night at Creepy Camp. It's time to return to your bunks and get some sleep. Sweet nightmares, everyone.